You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Draft Talk. I'm Justice Mosquito. I'm here with Tyler Brooks. Hey, what's up, people, Tyler?
What's up? We made it. By the time this comes out, it'll be draft day. It's Draftmas Eve right now. I don't even know what I want for Draftmas, but I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, the night before Draftmas. I don't even know what I want anymore, because now people are saying George Karloftis isn't even going to go in the first round, so there's no point in jumping him at 22 or 28. People say Pickens isn't going to go in the first round because of off-field stuff. We could talk about that a little bit. I don't even know what I want anymore, Tyler. I just want draft picks, and I want the draft to be
over. You've been gaslit. You've been gaslit on everyone you like being bad.
Everyone, yeah, other than Quay Walker. Quay Walker apparently maybe top 20 pick now, which is – he's not going to be there at 20 now, or 22. Great. Fun how that works. This is Draft Talk 9.0 presented by Acme Packing Company. I wanted to start this one off. Let's have a positional draft. Let's pick, you and me, back and forth. We could say offensive line is one position. Defense will be interior defensive line, edge rusher, off-ball linebacker, safety corner. Does that work? So number cool. one,
who,
I'm taking it
who
off
Who gets
the board.
Wide receiver?
Yeah. I'm.
Oh, wow, you're one, going first.
Number one, I'm going wide receiver. We'll snake draft this too. We get back-to-back picks.
Kind of rude. You don't let the guest pick first, but okay.
Oh, I just took the easy one off. I'm giving you the actual first two takes.
Well, I don't even think the second one's a take. It's immediately after linebacker. It's got to be edge, just because you only have two guys. You do not want Tepan Naliai and Jonathan Garvin as your backups. So I'm going edge. Get some guys in there. Get another. You can get a pure pass rusher if you want. You can get an edge setter if you want. Just get some bodies out there, man. You need some upgrades. Second thing, I'm just going to go offensive line as a whole, I think, with Elton Jenkins recovering from AL. I just think he uses a little bit more depth there. I feel pretty strongly about finding a swing tackle guard guy like Zach Tom, who I finally watched, by the way.
He's good.
I like him.
You liked him. Yeah, held up pretty well concern, against Jermaine Johnson, a alleged top 10
pick. Shut him down. My concern is if you kick him into guard, I'm not sure how much of a bully he's going to be on inside, but his hands are so good that he can at least like wall people off. Yeah. So, and his pass pro is clean. I have no questions about pass pro. He moves really well.
Yeah, he's one of the guys you can get in early enough that if he's doing well enough in pass protection, he can at least stay on the field and develop, which is always the key compared to the run blockers who are 330 camp pass block for crap. And then you see they're just on the bench for their entire rookie contract and then just flame out in the NFL, never get a second look. Okay, I am definitely going with interior defensive line then at four.
Okay,
that's a huge need for me, I think.
Yeah, I probably reached on the offensive line if we're being honest, but again, I like watching.
But they need bodies. I mean, offensive line, they have what? They have seven guys. Like they're going to draft two guys in this draft class that are going to make the team. Period. Like the
whole. Not only are they going to make the team, one of them's going to be a star and he's going to be like a fourth round pick.
Yeah. I'll take defensive line, and then I guess I'll go inside linebacker or off-ball linebacker, I guess is the best way to say it. Okay. I do think they could get another starter next to Devondre.
This is where I want to pitch you on something.
Okay.
Let's say the Packers address one of these earlier needs. Let's say they get a wide receiver or an edge at 22. N'Kobe Dean's there at 28. Would you take him?
So I like the fit specifically in Green Bay. So if you get Dean there, I think you're playing a whole lot more nickel fronts, right? We saw the Penny stuff last year, which – we talked about a lot on this podcast, but the Penny stuff is basically a nickel defense in terms of the defensive backs, but the front is like a 3-4 defense minus an inside linebacker. So you're not taking out an interior guy on the defensive line. You're taking out a linebacker. And they had, you know, Campbell play sideline to sideline. I think with the way Dean plays, and if you're allocating resources that way, you're going to have to rely on the linebackers more in terms of like blitz coverage and stuff like that, and also blitzing. I think it works with how big Campbell is. You know, you watch that Georgia defense, they had to have a guy like Quay Walker in there to kind of open stuff up for Dean, which is kind of his knock, is that, you know, he's not a very big dude, but he's a great blitzer, plays with his hair on fire, all that stuff. I would understand it. It would just be like, let's make sure the defense is framed and going in, you know, this direction now. Cause I think it would stop being a 3 defensive line front, really.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair point. I just, when I think about it, he's just such a different player than Devondre, but like what he brings to the table, especially if you're thinking about overall value.
That's a good thing to me. Yeah. Like N'Kobe Dean, you can't have 2 N'Kobe Deans playing next to each other. It just doesn't exactly work.
That's why I think the fit is just so, it's so clean, because it's just 2 different types of off-ball linebackers. And again, just from a pure value standpoint, as far as a prospect at 28, I don't think you're going to find many better overall talented players than N'Kobe Dean if he's there.
Right. And it seems like teams have fallen off. It seems like he has like just little things on his medical. Like, doesn't seem like there's any big overarching. Like, it's not like the Justin Ross thing where you're hearing like he's failing medicals because of the neck, or Andrew Booth where they're like multiple surgeries to a sports hernia. It's not one thing. It's just like, he's kind of dinged up and he's kind of small. And that's why he's falling down draft boards right now. Do you want to make more picks? Still got tight end on the board.
Yeah, I would go tight end. Darren Waller, I would prefer than any of these rookies.
We'll talk about Darren Waller after this. I have many thoughts.
Yeah, please do, because I heard it, and it was one of those like, stop what you're doing, just go. Just took a second to think about it and immediately bought in to the possibility. But that's me hearing any talented playmaker at this point. Tight end, and then who have we not picked? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'll do third safety.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That works for me. I think
it's not a pressing need. It's a future need. If you don't pay guys, which you should.
Right. Corner, running back, last position for you to pick is quarterback. Safety, 7th on our board. A lot of safeties being mocked to the Green Bay Packers. I don't understand it. The Packers have plenty of cap space next year to extend Amos, to pick up the 5th-year option of Savage and potentially work it down to a long-term extension if that's something that they want to do. People say they want to use that third safety a lot. You're not going to be in dime a lot, right? And if you're in nickel, Jair is your slot corner. You just spent a first round pick.
And he's going to be awesome at it.
You just spent a first round pick on Eric Stokes. You have Rasul Douglas you just paid on the outside. I don't understand where people think they're going to use this third safety other than on 3rd and longs. We saw it last year. They used Henry Black on 3rd and 6+. Because that was their dime defense. And they stopped doing that in the Baltimore Ravens game when they started using Kevin King on the inside to match up with some of those bigger bodies. I don't understand where the safety need comes from. I understand you thinking, okay, maybe we're going to draft a guy right now so that we don't have to pay Amos all this money. I don't think Amos is going to break the bank. Dude, what kind of a contract do you think Amos is going to get? He's not getting $15 million per.
No, absolutely not. He's a guy that does everything well, but he's not a transcendent superstar at the position. And I think if people paid more attention, I think he'd get a lot more national media recognition because he's so solid, but he's flashy.
I just don't get it. They have basically 3 guys they need to pay next year. The cap is going to jump up like crazy starting next season. They have cap space already. It's Gary. It's Savage. It's Jair. It's Amos. Pay the defensive back.
I don't know.
It's that easy.
I don't know, man. I was told by experts on Twitter that the salary cap's actually bad and that you should not sign good players because of money.
Enough. I want a ring. I want a ring, damn it. This team is like not going to exist post Rodgers. I feel like there's still some fans who haven't accepted that necessarily. Like, it is going to be scorched earth at the end of this. So let's just maximize it. Why are we drafting a safety to teach him the ropes? Like, I don't get it.
By the time the Rodgers saga is over, if you take a safety in the first round, he's going to have like 1-2 years left on his deal. And then you're not going to, it just doesn't make sense.
F that. Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel dropped all the other visits, by the way. So we could talk about those type of guys. Interestingly enough, he did not include John Thompson, the cornerback from Texas, and Sam Williams, the edge rusher from Ole Miss, for some reason. He had 28 of the 30. I think we have the other two, and now we have 30. So to recap, guys that have come into Green Bay that we've talked about, you can read all the write-ups on these guys up on the site if you just kind of look it up. We had individual posts for all of these guys. Treylon Burks, wide receiver, Arkansas. Sam Williams, edge rusher, Ole Miss. Tyquan Thornton, wide receiver, Baylor. Velus Jones, wide receiver, Tennessee. George Pickens, wide receiver, Georgia. John Thompson, cornerback, Texas. Eric Johnson, defensive lineman, Missouri State. Tariq Carpenter, safety linebacker from Georgia Tech. Samari Toure, wide receiver, Nebraska. Devontae Wyatt, defensive line, Georgia. Abraham Lucas, tackle, Washington State. Christian Watson, a favorite of Packers Twitter, wide receiver, North Dakota State. Perrion Winfrey, defensive line, Oklahoma. Bam Olesinyi, who's the massive 26-year-old from London, tackle, Utah. Jaquan Brisker, safety, Penn State. Rasheed Walker, tackle, Penn State. And Kevin Atkins, defensive line, Fresno State. So those are the guys that we knew last time, right? We had talked about these guys throughout the podcast, all that. Here are the new guys, 13 of them. Romeo Doubs, wide receiver, Nevada. John Fitzpatrick,
like tight end,
Georgia. Tyler Smith, offensive lineman, Tulsa. Arian Kennard, offensive lineman, Kentucky. Ed Ingram, offensive line, LSU. Drake Jackson, edge rusher, USC. Tyron Johnson, edge rusher, linebacker, Kansas. So those guys are all draft picks, right? Those are guys that are all expected to go on draft day. And then kind of like the UDFA recruiting guys that I would keep an eye on. Jack Cochran, linebacker, South Dakota. Benji Franklin, cornerback, Tarleton State. Greg Jr., cornerback, Ouachita Baptist. Don't know even what division that is. Deron Bland, cornerback, Fresno State. So a second Fresno State defender. John DeLance, offensive line, Florida. And Jameer Johnson, offensive line, Texas A&M. So we're going to focus on the draft pick type of guys in this. Doubs is a guy we talked about really early on in the process. He never ended up running. Mm-hmm. I believe he had a foot injury. I believe that's why he never ended up running. He's interesting because he definitely is like high weight speed. It's all there. Back to back, you know, 1,000 yard receiver at Nevada. They played in a wide open air raid system. Really like as old school air raid as you can get. I mean, he's lined up, you know, near the sideline, not doing a whole lot of blocking. When you look at the run game stuff, effort maybe isn't necessarily there, which is, you know, half of it, you know, in terms of run blocking and stuff. So I don't know how he necessarily fits in that way, but I could see him fourth, fifth rounder, you know, if he's available, maybe the second guy the Packers draft, you know, at wide receiver, just to add a little bit of speed, depending on who they go in the first.
Doesn't he have experience as a return man as well?
Oh yeah. First, I believe his first touch in college football was like a 90 yard return touchdown. He was like a triple option quarterback, if I remember right, in high school. Did something like scored 8 rushing touchdowns in a single game. So he was a convert to the wide receiver position, you know, late. Another guy, John Fitzpatrick, tight end, Georgia. He was a guy you can look up on Pro Football Focus if you have access to their grades and stuff like that. You know, he was second, you know, in this draft class in run blocking. I talked to some Georgia fans like my buddy Chuck. They all say the same thing. Like, he's made 12 starts last 2 years. That's what he does. He's a run blocker. 6'7", north of 260, didn't run, declared early for the draft, didn't get invited to the combine, didn't run at his pro day. Maybe that's why they brought him in. You know, a lot of these guys, right, it's like incomplete data in some sort of way. I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people say that he's, you know, have him ranked as like an undrafted guy. But from the people I've talked to, it sounds like he's probably going to go 6th, 7th round or be a very high priority free agent. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's a late round pick. The Packers are looking at him wise. I can tell you that for a fact. So they're looking at, think of it as like the replacement for Mercedes Lewis, which based off of his age, yeah, I mean, shouldn't be much of a surprise, right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. He's not the like number zero massive human being tight end that Georgia had, right?
No. That's a different guy. That's Washington. See, that's the thing. Is like, right. I saw him on the invite, and I'm like, I know two tight ends from Georgia, and it's not this guy. But this guy started 12 games. I don't remember this guy. And then you look at it, and you're like, yeah, he had like 12 receptions, 200 yards, one touchdown in his whole career. All he did was block. He's an unbalanced right tackle. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. We'll talk about these offensive linemen in the group, I guess. Tyler Smith, tackle Tulsa. Darren Kennard, tackle Kentucky. Ed Ingram, guard for LSU. Tyler Smith is 21 years old. I mean, he declared as a redshirt sophomore. Did not play his first year much at Tulsa. Still got under those five games and was able to take a redshirt. Then made freshman All-American in the COVID-shortened season 2020 and was all AAC this past year. Meets all of the Packers, you know, athletic score stuff. I think a lot of people think that he can play guard too at the next level. So he's an interesting guy that like feels like a Packers pick, right? Like he's a guy, I wouldn't be surprised if he's still there at 28, if he's the pick. I know a lot of people have the opinion that he's actually like the fourth best tackle in this class. You have the top three guys at the top, right? Like you have Evan Neal out of Alabama, Ike Ekwonu, NC State, Charles Cross from Mississippi State, and then it's a teardrop, right? And then it's kind of a binary of like, are you a Trevor Penning guy or not? And then it's the next tier. And at the top of the next tier are guys like Tyler Smith. So I could see that being – I would kind of be surprised if he was the 22 pick, but I wouldn't be surprised if like they – even if they moved up from 28 for the guy, just based off of, you know, how big of a need offensive line is.
I'm behind on all the Packers. I finally got to Zach Tom, but I haven't gotten to Tyler Smith. Everything I'm hearing is good, though. Again, yeah, you mentioned age, and again, the big one for me is positional versatility. If he's a guy that can come out and play right tackle until Elton's fully healthy, and then you can kick him into guard, like, sign me up for that, especially at that age. So I'm hearing a lot of first-round buzz. I don't have an opinion, unfortunately, on just because I never got around to watching him. But if they pick him, you bet your ass I will.
Yeah. Darren Kennard, big guy. Former five-star recruit out of Ohio. Spent some time in Tennessee too. Turned down the Volunteers, teams like that. Was a U.S. Army All-American. Basically just locked down the right side of the offensive line with Kentucky the past couple years. Not a super athletic guy, but he did just come out of basically the same system. Like the Rams just hired Kentucky's offensive coordinator after he had spent time with the Rams. They ran the same, you know, outside zone, duo, boot action, like all that stuff. So I think he would kind of be a plug and play type of guy at, you know, right tackle or guard. A lot of people project him to guard, but he hasn't necessarily played there. He's interesting. And then Ed Ingram from LSU kind of meets all of the Packers threshold stuff, but he's only played guard. He has played both left and right guard. The big thing with Ingram, he is definitely an off-field red flag guy. He got charged, I believe, with sexual assault, was a full-time starter as a true freshman at LSU, was suspended his entire, like what would have been his true sophomore season, was reinstated 2019 when the LSU Tigers went on that title run. He was basically like on the bench that entire year and brought off for like injury, regained his job as a starter in 2020 and 2022 or 2021, was all SEC those 2 years. That's the kind of big red flag on Ingram. Like no one doubts kind of the ability. He'll probably be, you know, average to above average NFL starter as a guard, but that's the red flag there.
That doesn't sound great. I haven't watched either of these guys as well. I do know with Kennard, I know people don't want to hear about it on our podcast because we've gotten comments about it, but he came on with some very strong opinionated political views at the combine. Kennard did. So,
I know
some Packers fans might like him.
I think at the Senior Bowl, he wore the Trader Joe's shirt. I believe that's what he did. Yeah, he has strong opinions. Would fit in with the Packers locker room, I think. As far as the low end of guys on this list, Drake Jackson, edge rusher USC. Not, I don't know why I said low end, I guess. He's 21 years old. His best film came as a freshman when he was 270 pounds. He got COVID, weight dropped a lot, and then USC switched schemes and were basically like, hey, how about we start using you as a guy who plays in a two-point stance as a pass rusher instead of in a three-point stance. Ended up playing at like 240 the past 2 years. Didn't have the best film. Was all Pac-12 all 3 years, though. Is interesting. So he was 250-something at the combine. At his pro day, he was 270-something. He ran a 7.093 cone. Never ran the 40-yard dash off of a choice. It's not like he's been hurt. But that's a really good three cone for a guy that size. And again, that's probably the most important drill for an edge rusher. If he's getting back to his early career size, the guy I compared him to was like Aaron Lynch. Do you remember Aaron Lynch coming out in like his college career? Where
South Florida, right?
Yeah, but like his freshman year, he was playing heavy at Notre Dame. And people were like, this dude might be like JJ, the next JJ Watt. And then he slimmed down, played at USF, got drafted. Didn't do very well, and then got to a bigger weight and then started playing better. If you already can get Jackson to playing at 270 at 21 years old, he's a guy I would say is maybe a sleeper pick for the Packers at like 28, because you get into that range, the edge rushers left, right? We always talk about age with the Packers, right? The edge rushers will probably be available at like 28, depending on if they do or don't like Karlaftis, which is like a whole other thing that like I don't even understand, so I don't even know if I want to talk about it. Is like Ebiketie, who's already 23, Mafe, who's going to turn 24 in season, and then Paschal, who I believe is 23 turning 28, with the way, you know, his cancer went, and then he got an extra season because of COVID and all that stuff. So Jackson is like the young athletic rusher who might be there, and we've seen the Packers take some swings at guys like that before. So I would not discount that, even though he's projected as a second round pick right now.
I would need to go back and watch that freshman tape, because I watched him when he was smaller. And the one big issue I had is that he just didn't really generate any, you know, push when trying to like power rush or set the edge or anything like that. So I wasn't as high on him, but you could see a lot of the pass rush around the edge. So, you know, if he does get a little bigger, I am interested in that. So maybe I'll have to go back again. If this is ends up being a Packers pick, I will go back and watch the freshman tape. I like the bigger guys. You know, I think I'm definitely more biased towards the guys that can, you know, both stop the run and rush the passer. So I'd be interested in it for sure. Especially, I did not know that three cone time. That's honestly kind of wild, especially if he added all that weight. That's insane.
Yeah. The last guy, Kyron Johnson, linebacker, Kansas. He played basically defensive end this past year at Kansas, but has played a little bit of everything. He's played off-ball linebacker. He's played in the slot, all that. 6 foot, 231. I don't think anyone expects him to actually be an edge rusher at the next level. I think people kind of look at him as like a really special teams contributor that you hope to figure out like where he's going to end up shaking out. So like he had 39.5-inch vertical. He ran a 4.4 at his pro day. Good shuttle, good 10-yard split, good broad jump, average three cone, all that stuff. So he's a good athlete, small, undersized guy. Even for a linebacker, when he's transitioning from defensive end, was not invited to the combine, is a little bit of an older guy, had all those numbers at his pro day. So he's a guy I think is probably going to go late rounds, 6th, 7th, somewhere around there. That team's going to look at like, hey, you're big enough to play punt protection, right? Oh, you're fast enough to play kickoff team. Okay, you can be available for us on our 46, and we can kind of figure out like where you fit in as a defender. Maybe you're just playing dime inside linebacker, and we're subbing out, you know, whoever it is, Barnes, whoever it is, next to Devondre Campbell, right? Like maybe that's just your role. You're the Joe Thomas, Oren Burks type of guy, but you're at a discount relative to where Oren Burks was. Like, I think that's kind of what his role is going to end up being at the next level.
Joe Thomas, Packers Joe Thomas, not a name I've heard.
Packers Joe Thomas
in quite a while.
And Cowboys. But
wasn't there a couple weeks where we thought he was going to be something, and then he didn't?
He was okay as a dime linebacker. He's okay as a dime linebacker and on special teams. Sometimes that's all you need to do to make a team. In terms of the count, so the Packers had 30 visits. You're allowed to have 30 visits each draft class. Again, 28 got released by Silverstein. Two, we believe we had caught on that he missed. the counts, offensive line, 8, receiver, 7, interior defensive line, 4, corner, 4. And then I split two of the players who are like hybrid guys, right? We already talked about Johnson. The other one is Tariq Carpenter, who's a 220-pound strong safety who's being worked out as an inside linebacker. He did that at the Senior Bowl. So we have 2.5 edge defenders, 2 off-ball linebackers, 1.5 safety, and only 1 tight end. I think that's a little bit surprising.
That one is odd. That one surprises me. The wide receivers is good. It seems like there's a lot of day 2, day 3 guys. The one I keep hearing a lot is Tyquan Thornton. It's a potential. I just heard today, I think ESPN's Jeremy Fowler said day 2 pick for Thornton.
I believe it. I've talked to some people who are close to Thornton and kind of believe that. They believe the interest in Green Bay. I believe one of the Packers' top executives visited Baylor for the pro day. John something. He's got it, it's like one of the 2 name things. I don't want to mess it up. But someone was there who was important to watch him. So I wouldn't be surprised there. They also mentioned the UVA tight end, right? That was the other one that got brought up.
Jelani.
Yeah, Jelani, yes. Which is another one that I've heard. So basically, let's take it to break. We'll talk about the wide receivers, tight ends, what they might do at 22, 28, what I think is going to happen at the top of the draft. And we'll catch you guys on the other side.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a 2-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
And we're back. All right, start with tight ends. We just talked about Jelani Woods. I really do believe the Packers are going to come out of day two with a tight end. Who that tight end is going to depend on how the board shakes out, because round 3 is really where that run of tight ends is going to be. I think Jelani Woods has a chance. I think Cade Outton, I believe is how you say his name, the Y from Washington, has a chance. Ruckert, the tight end from Ohio State, who's probably – I think if not for injuries and if he was able to test all the way, would probably be the top tight end in this class, actually over McBride. And then the other guys, I guess, Greg Dulcich, who is thought of as like a pass catcher. I thought he was more of a, you know, F or H or whatever you want to call him, like the Robert Tonyan type of dude. But I guess they think he can play a little bit of Y and he can develop into that role. So I would look at those guys as guys that they could potentially get, you know, third round. If they aren't there, Jake Ferguson in the fourth is the name I would underline, highlight, circle, all that stuff out of Wisconsin. He can do it. But more importantly, I want to talk about Darren Waller. Let's talk about Darren Waller. Okay. So this has been interesting. If you haven't kept up with the news, Chiefs Head TV's Aaron Nagler broke a report that said, you know, two league sources said the Packers are still interested in trading for Darren Waller. Now you might think, huh, that's weird. Weren't those two teams just involved in another trade? Devontae Adams. Why couldn't they have just done it then? I was told in March that Darren Waller was originally part of the trade for Devontae Adams. It was going to involve the 22nd pick and Darren Waller in exchange for Devontae Adams. Here's the problem. They sent it to the league. The league said you can't do that. Why would the league say you can't do that? There's technically in a rule in the new CBA that says you cannot trade a player who is franchise tagged but has yet to sign his tender for another player. So Devontae Adams did not sign the tender. Now you could say, wait, why wouldn't Devontae just sign it? Think of it from Devontae's perspective. If you were Devontae Adams, would you rather want to play with swapping the second round pick for Darren Waller, right? Would you rather want to play with the second round pick or Darren Waller, Tyler?
Darren Waller is going to take so much pressure off of you.
Yes. Yes. So why would Devontae do that? So that happened on that Monday, right? The Monday of the Devontae Adams trade. The original counter offer by the Raiders was their first round pick and their third round pick. The Packers didn't take it. They said, no, we'd rather have Darren Waller than third round pick. Get out of here. Like, we're not going to do this. Trades off. It took until Thursday for the compensation to go from a third round pick to a second round pick, which ended up getting the deal done. Okay. That's the full story. What I didn't know the Packers were still active in the Waller market because they had, I believe that weekend, that Saturday, right? So timeline. Monday, they agreed to the trade that involved Waller. Got sent to the league, told they couldn't do it. They had to figure out new compensation. They argued about it until Thursday. Thursday, they came up with a compensation of a first and second round pick. Got the deal done. Saturday, they signed Robert Tonyan. Okay? So my thought was, okay, they have their, like, pass-catching tight end. Obviously, he's not going to be available early on in the season. He's going to start the season on the POP list, all that stuff. But they have that guy. I didn't know they were still involved in it. If there is a trade, I would assume it would be that second round compensation right back for Darren Waller. Darren Waller also, because I see this brought up a billion times, people saying, Darren Waller is one of the best contracts in the NFL. Why would the Raiders want to trade that? Darren Waller is asking for a new contract. Like, that's part of this deal. That's part of why the Raiders would move off of him. He's going to ask, he's making something like $6 million cash per year. The next 2 years, that's what he has remaining for the contract. He's going to ask for what Kittle just got, you know, even though he's off of injury, right? So he's going to ask for $15 million per plus guarantees. So it's not as simple as switching the deals. Yeah, I mean, Darren Waller, so we looked up the stats. I sent it to my buddy Seth Galina, who can actually, like, tweet out the stats because he's, you know, he has PFF, so they can't sue him or anything. The only guys who played more X snaps, which is, you know, isolated, you know, wide receiver by himself, than Darren Waller were Travis Kelce, who's functionally a receiver. What's his name? The dude from Atlanta, Kyle Pitts, who's functionally a wide receiver, and Mike Gesicki, who's functionally a receiver. So if you want to figure out a way how to get a receiver for cheap, it's by paying a tight end who actually plays wide receiver, right? You're getting a $10 million discount for what Waller's asking for relative to what Devontae Adams was asking for. So if you can get a first round pick and save $10 million, that's the way to do it. Right.
Also, that completely changes the draft strategy. In my opinion, it completely deprioritizes trying to get a wide receiver early. Cause you basically have your wide receiver one, you have Darren Waller. I just think it would be perfect if instead of giving them back 53, you just gave them 59 instead in the trade, just to be petty.
I'm not sure. Like, they might be arguing. I could see them arguing like the first offer was a third, right? So your initial reaction was, oh, we replaced Waller with a third. How about I just give you a third? I wouldn't be surprised if it was something like a second and getting back a fourth or something like that. So it's not like you're giving the pick right back. We'll see. I mean, we're recording this on a Wednesday. That would be a trade that involves picks on Friday, right? I mean, at the latest, you can make that trade is probably Thursday, because you still need him to pass a physical before you go on the clock, right? To make sure that you you can't put the milk back in the jug, right? Like, let's say he comes in, he is coming off an injury, right? Let's say Waller doesn't pass a physical, the Raiders already spent the picks. Now what the hell do you do? You're just out picks. Like, the deal was done. So you got to get some of these trades done earlier than draft day, which is why you see very few players moved on draft day, you know, in the NFL relative to like the NBA, where like the guys aren't actually being traded, as weird as that is. Like, the picks aren't being traded. It's like the rights to the player for some reason.
I really enjoyed that Derek Carr said there was no chance, despite this all trade technically already being tried to be pushed through.
And then,
so I responded to it with a meme and he blocked me, just because that guy can't take any criticism ever.
Jeremy Fowler said that like there were no trade talks, like it was not agreed to. It was sent to the league.
The league
had to remind the general manager of the Raiders and the Packers that there was a rule that banned this. That's how it came up. It wasn't one of the GMs saying, wait, actually, we need to think about this. The league had to remind them. So you can't tell, like, whatever the technicality is, like, they get it to their desk and they say, hey, we're not even going to file this, like, whatever it is. They had agreed on that trade, period. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Point blank, period.
Yes.
I have sources on that. It confirms everything that Nagler said. It's true, period. That's it. Wide receiver.
I forgot about this. I got really caught up in all the Darren Waller talk.
Yeah, wide receiver. I really think there's a chance they don't go wide receiver in the first round. I really do. And that's even if they make two picks in the first, right? I think they can go. We just listed all the positions, right? Edge rusher, offensive line, interior defensive line, linebacker. Some people are saying Trey McBride might go at the end of the first round. I don't think the Packers are the team that will select him there. I think they're comfortable living in that kind of like third round range. I really could see them just not addressing the position. And I don't know what that means moving forward. Like, maybe they do like a guy like Burks. The Pickens stuff is weird, right? So Pickens was involved in a car crash on Sunday. This has all been reported, by the way. I don't understand why this hasn't been picked up nationally when people say, you know, you're hearing a lot of buzz, right, immediately of, hey, George Pickens, you know, character concerns, or like teams aren't totally comfortable with like his evaluation, whatever it is. He was involved in a crash on Sunday involving a former or a current Georgia running back. It was at 4 a.m. And that's really the entire story. There's no intoxication. He wasn't the driver. The running back was the driver. They were going 20 miles over. They were going 60 and a 40, which like not the best, not also not like you're going to jail, right? Or anything like that. The person who was hit went to the hospital, but sounds like they're going to be okay. Really, I think all this just stems from like some guys in the NFL didn't like George Pickens, his attitude. You know, you see the videos that I think are funny, right? Like him fighting the Georgia Tech defender, throwing him into the wall, him shushing the Michigan sideline, and then just like decapitating their cornerback as a run blocker, him spraying water on a Tennessee player. Those are all funny.
That the spraying water is my favorite. It's just so subtle.
It's absurd. It's just like, I want that guy on my team just for like the comedic value of the entertainment, right?
Yeah.
But there are some people who don't vibe with that. And all they needed to hear, right, were car crash, Sunday morning, week of the draft, 4 a.m. That's all they needed to hear, right? So it'll be interesting to see if Green Bay is one of the teams that's comfortable with their evaluation of his character or personality, however you want to frame it, because it's not like he's doing anything criminal or anything like that. But certainly terrible timing to have that happen the week of the draft, especially when everyone is, you know, flown out, right? There's really not a lot of time for conversations because a lot of these guys are like in meetings, like they have a draft to prepare for. They need to know, hey, okay, what are we like exactly going to do on day three and stuff like that? Like maybe the top is settled, but people ripping him off the draft boards. Apparently that's real. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if Thornton is like their second guy drafted or something like that in the third round or something. Cause I don't even really think there's a lot of dudes available in the second, unless someone like a Christian Watson or a Pickens or Alec Pierce go a lot later than we assume. Like, Pierce is a guy, I don't even know if he's going to be there for the Packers' third pick, right, in the second, 55 yeah. or whatever it is, 53. So, I don't know.
I don't love Tyquan Thornton, but I think you could talk me into him. It's mostly because the 4.2940 play speed absolutely translates on the field. I mean, there are times where he has the ball and just you're like, all right, bye. He's going. No one can touch you.
They're quarters coverage, and he is outrunning safeties and corners like it's nothing yeah. in the Big 12, which like produces. I mean, it's not the MAC or anything like that, right? Like all these yeah. teams are used to playing, you know, comfortable surfaces, you know, turf. Heat, sunshine, all that. And they're just getting ran by this dude. So, yeah, I mean, all that stuff translates. He's a smaller guy in terms of weight. He's like 180 something. He's got a big frame, though, super long arms. Like, he definitely uses that to his advantage, plucks balls out of the air. The big thing I think people think of with that frame is they're like, well, the Packers really like run blockers, right? We've talked to ad nauseum about how they like guys who are like 205 and bigger, like to run block, all that stuff. He gets after in the run game for a skinnier dude. He's not a small dude. He's a skinnier
yeah.
dude. So I kind of get it. Like, I'm actually – Dobbs probably has, like, 20 pounds on him. Mm-hmm. I like Tyquan Thornton as a run blocker a lot more than Dobbs.
Yeah. I would rather have him than Christian Watson. Sorry to all the Christian Watson fans out there. I would, but too. You could talk me more into – because, again, I think the athletic testing for Watson, I don't always see it on the field. Again, the play speed and everything with Thornton, you immediately see, you're like, yep, that guy is stupid fast.
Right.
And if you can't get a guy like Jameson Williams, take a shot on Thornton. It would just make me sad if that's the only wide receiver they come away with, because I still think you need someone else besides that deep threat.
And I still think the way to think about runs, you know, everything is being reaffirmed with what's coming out, right? I think people are picking up the Charles Cross stuff and the Saints. Seems like people are picking up on Evan Neal's medicals not necessarily being great, which means Cross might be able to go above Evan Neal. So like as high as the fifth overall pick to the New York Giants, right, would be an example. I think the runs are going to be edge rusher and tackle. You're going to see them fly off of the board because the second tier is just such a big drop off. It's such an important position, and there's so few of them. Then you're going to see the corners and wide receivers. And I really do think Olave is going to go probably before 17. And along with him is going to be Jameson Williams and Garrett Wilson. So if the Packers aren't willing to move up for one, unless they're cool with just sitting back and taking a Treylon Burks, who teams like Arizona, Dallas, I know those are teams that are probably going to end up looking at him at their picks. You probably have to take him at 22. Depending on how the board shakes out, maybe you just skip out on round one wide receivers. And if you don't take Burks at 28, you know, previously we would have thought George Karlaftis, George Pickens, like that's the dream at 22 and 28. Well, now we're hearing NFL teams don't like Karlaftis like that, which doesn't make sense to me. And you're hearing, you know, George Pickens, you know, is off a lot of draft boards. So who knows if he's even, you know, considered in Green Bay at this point.
This is why I hate this time of year, man. I'm convinced that Karlaftis stuff is smoke. You cannot tell me that guy's not a first round player. He's going to go top. He's going to go to the Commanders, and he's going to be the next Ryan Kerrigan at like 12. And we're going to stop with this nonsense. And then he's going to be great for like 10 years,
especially in a class when
no one's good.
Jermaine Johnson might go top five. There's a real chance Jermaine Johnson goes top five. And he's really not that good. He's a second round pick edge rusher in most classes to me. So like, I don't get that. I don't get Ebiketie at, you know, 23 years old going before him. I don't get Boye Mafe potentially going before him. I don't know.
Not only is Boye Mafe going to be 24, like he only sees the field really. He only saw the field really on like third downs.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't really a three down player at Minnesota. It was the Golden Gophers. It wasn't like he was playing for Alabama as a pass rush specialist. He's playing for a shit program like Minnesota. Just what are we doing here, guys? If Mafe goes before Karlaftis, I don't understand. I get that he's not an exciting guy. Like on the field, he's not super flashy, and off the field, he definitely is not. But he's a very, very good player.
I just want to talk about a couple guys who I think should be interested or should be interesting for Packers fans to keep an eye on, right? Devontae Wyatt, probably best hybrid 1-3 tech in this draft class. He's probably not as good of a nose tackle or a nose guard as Jordan Davis. The big thing with Wyatt, one, he's overaged. He had academic issues, went to junior college, all that stuff, ended up getting the extra year at Georgia. So that's the age factor. Very athletic. The other thing is off-field stuff, right? So we have one domestic dispute that is on record. I don't want to hashtag sources, but like there's other stuff there too that teams aren't super comfortable with. He was brought in on a visit. The Packers do seem to bring in general, a lot of these guys who have like documented red flags for visits. They don't pick a lot of them, but he's a guy who fits a position of need and is kind of like the type of guy on the field that they end up drafting. And there's honestly not very many defensive linemen. I think there's something like six guys who are going to go in the first like four rounds, basically. And they're basically all going to go in that like probably pick 20 to second round range. So one guy to keep interested, keep a tab on. Nakobe Dean, you brought him in up. Another guy, Arnold Ebiketie, pass rusher out of Penn State. We talked about him a little bit. He's overage. Tyler Smith, we touched on him. Logan Hall. Logan Hall from Houston is a guy teams like a whole lot more than the media, apparently. And I understand why. He's massive. He can play on the edge. He can play on the interior. He's very athletic. There's really not that much not to like about him. He's a guy who's trending up. Was basically a basketball athlete in high school who put on just a ton of weight throughout his college career. So it's like a lot of, we see line move up. We think line is going to keep moving up. He's young, athletic. What if we get him and he ends up becoming like a Fletcher Cox type of guy, right? He's a guy I would circle as one of the Packers potential picks. Like the guys I just listed, plus the wide receivers are the guys that I think are in the running at 22 and 28. Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, I was watching the soccer and was trying not to react. I would love Logan Hall at 28. I mean, just if you can get that guy under contract for 5 years with that, you know, like that, we're trying to, first round guys, we're trying to project their future success, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think of a guy that still has like upside and ways to go and fully developing, like you're already seeing the flashes on tape now. And if you can get him to be where he needs to be, depending on where you want to put him too, I mean, there's potential for that guy to be something special. And I think that's what you use first round picks on. Again, I with the first round, especially, I'm starting to just get to the point where it's like, I don't care what positions you take, just pick the damn good players. Please don't let these guys go past, because this is a class where you're not going to find a lot of those guys. And you've got two opportunities to get the good players. So would really like to see a guy like Logan Hall at 20.
Yeah, I would love it. That's why I don't even hate like the Trey Smith pick, right? We're talking about an offensive
Tyler
lineman.
Smith.
Tyler Smith, my bad. The Tyler Smith
pick. Hey, it's a Tyler. Like, it's not a Ty. It is a Tyler. So remember that. So he's certified good. Yeah, he's certified good. His name is Tyler, not Ty.
He's a guy I'm like, okay, you're going to play two contracts for the Packers. That's a good pick in the first round. Like nothing to complain about. Probably not the highest of upsides, but like maybe that saves you some millions of dollars with Elgton Jenkins. Can you find an Elgton Jenkins trade? Like all these things are still on the table right now. They talked about how, you know, Gary and Savage's fifth year options aren't going to be decided until post-draft because they want to see how this shakes out. I'm at the point, I will make one exception. Okay. I know quarterback, running back, they're not going to get drafted, right? Tight end, it's not going to happen. The one position I don't want to see in the first round. I don't want to see a safety. I don't want to pay the damn safeties. They're money. They're solid safeties. Keep the defense together. I don't get it. You have the money. Why are we rebuilding?
And the difference between a good safety to a great safety isn't that drastic. It doesn't have that drastic of an impact. I would rather use that money elsewhere and those resources.
The other thing too is like a lot of these safeties, like their best play is in the slot. So you look at the top four guys, right? I guess we could talk about the top five because they brought in Brisker. Kyle Hamilton, he's not going to be there, right? Period. He's just not, even though he ran a 4.7. Like his floor is probably the Houston Texans at 13 or wherever they're picking. Daxon Hill and Jalen Petrie are very fun players. Their best reps come in the slot. Jair Alexander is our slot now. He's our slot. Why are we drafting another slot so that they can play better in dime defense? No, get out of here. Lewis Seen is a true safety. He would be fun. He would be a guy. He would be the one I would be the most happiest with if they do go safety at either 22.
You'd be mad, but also happy.
Yeah, I'd be like, look, I'd be that meme of the, like, he's got that dog in him, right? I'd just be happy enough that, like, this dude's just taking off dudes' heads. And then Jaquan Brisker, who's probably going second round, almost certainly going second round from Penn State, they brought him in on a visit. So those are the top five safeties. Those are really the only top 100 locks, guys who are going to go in the first three rounds. I think Hamilton, Hill, and Seen probably go first round, depending on how the end of it shakes out. Like, Hill and Seen are going to be the tail end, while Hamilton is going to go in the first half. And then Petrie and Brisker, I think, are guys who are going to go. I think Petrie's going early second round, and then Brisker will go second round at some point.
I think he won't go first simply because of his age, because he's been at Baylor. He's been at Baylor since Matt Rhule, right? Like, he's been there for
a minute. Good Lord. That's been a while then. Yeah, that's not.
Yeah. Oof. He's one of those COVID seniors, I think.
Any part of my guy, thoughts? Though. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Petrie's my guy. I'll root for him wherever he plays.
He's going to be a good player. I just don't really get his fit in Green Bay. I just really don't. Same thing with Hill. I think he's going to be a really good slot. Whoever ends up taking him, the Packers don't really need a slot. They don't. Not the way that the cornerback room is shaking out.
Yeah, once the Packers signed Rasul Douglas, I knew that dream was dead. So,
any parting thoughts? Say your piece with this draft, at least until we're on the clock.
Dear Brian Gutekunst, please, please draft good players. I don't care what positions they play. Just take the guys that are good at the football. I want a Super Bowl very badly, and it would be nice to get one before Rodgers retires. Thank you.
I'm pretty much happy with anything. We have all the draft capital in the world, right? It's going to be pretty hard to come out of this bummed. Things I'm rooting against. Please don't draft an abuser. Don't want one on my team.
Yes.
Jaron Reed is bad enough. Two, I don't want the 25-year-old tackle from Hungary or whatever, from Central Michigan. I saw that mock to Green Bay at 22. Just take Smith. Take Smith instead. He's 4 years younger. He's just as athletic.
I agree.
He's just as good. And then three, no safeties. For the love of God, no safeties. Pay the damn safeties. I don't want Adrian Amos ever not playing for my football team. Ever.
I love him. Period. Love him.
He's got that dog in him.
He's also no longer a Bear, which is even bonus points. He left Chicago to go play for Green Bay and has kicked ass ever since coming in for the Packers. So
he also has the Baltimore accent, which keeps me entertained in when I'm watching the pressers and stuff like that, the ooze. All right. Next time you'll hear from us will probably be on a live stream that we're going to be hosting. We'll get that up on the site during the draft. I'm also going to be popping into the SB Nation NFL stuff from the SB Nation official account for their Twitter spaces during the first round. I think that'll start at 10 p.m. Eastern, I believe is when that'll start. And you'll hear from us pretty immediately after the draft. Read us on the site. Keep in tune to anything. We'll keep you up to date with, you know, any rumors that we end up saying. Not a lot of smoke coming out of Green Bay in recent weeks, other than people vaguely just saying, like, I don't know. What if they don't take a wide receiver? Which I have come to peace with at this point.
Yeah, same.
See you after 22 and 28, guys.
Woo!